This region is a hub for the pharmaceutical industry. Some of the drugs that have transformed medicine have been developed right here. Think vaccines and medicine for heart disease and diabetes. But the industry is changing. We've seen a lot of consolidations and downsizing of these big companies, leaving thousands of smart people out of work, facing challenges and, in some instances, unexpected opportunities. Elana Gordon reports.
The room is upbeat, friendly.
Perfect. Feel free to sign in, take a card.
About 2 dozen people, mostly women, filter into a lecture space at DeVry University. It's in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. But the people here aren't students. Lisa Koshia says the combined expertise filling these seats could run a multi-billion dollar drug company.
We have CEOs, we have MDs, PhDs, we have, you know, sales and marketing, we have nurses, we have research scientists, I mean, you name it, we have it.
Everyone, including Koshia, is here because they're in some way out of work, or as they put it, in transition.
And everybody would say to me, oh, you know what, don't worry about it, you'll get a job tomorrow, you're so talented with all your skill set, oh, no worries. And I'm finding that it's been the exact opposite.
Most people here don't want to put their name on tape when I talk to them. As big as the pharma sector may seem, they tell me it's actually a very, very small world.
I may be like blacklisted in the industry, and I don't want that.
People share a mix of experiences and emotions. There's the disbelief, frustration, and stress in some cases about the next mortgage payment.
Okay, well, welcome everybody. I'm so glad you could enjoy and come to our program, Reinventing Your Career and Expanding Your Options.
Koshia is the current co-chair of this bi-weekly group. It's mainly for women, though they recently opened it up to men because of the strong interest. Everyone introduces themselves, and then John Brady steps to the front.
Whenever we're going through,
he's a career coach the group invited in to give advice. He pulls up a PowerPoint, walks back and forth as he talks, and at one point cues up a scene from Rocky for a bit of inspiration.
Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
You know, one of those better silver screen moments that I like to throw in there. Believing in yourself and keep moving forward. Anyway, so getting into the networking piece of this.
Over the next hour and a half, Brady talks about working through that initial trauma of a job loss and how to be more successful in finding a new job. Everyone's paying attention. Some take notes like students.
One of the problems with the way I think we're all taught to do networking.
There have been anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 so-called displaced PhDs in this region as a result of the recent restructuring and downsizing in the pharma industry. That's according to an area economic development agency. And it means a lot of people may be out there trying to figure out the next step. There have been several waves. Bill Kinney, an organic chemist for 25 years, was laid off from Johnson & Johnson in 2009.
When people lose their jobs, they're not just losing their job, their income, they're losing their scientific family.
Kinney of Bucks County says his career path since has been a fluid one. He first did consulting, as many do. Business dried up after a year. Finally, he said he just had to do something.
So I said, oh, let me just go down the street and work for my neighbor who has this landscaping business. And he didn't know I was a PhD chemist. He just thought I was a desperate guy needing a job. But it actually was therapeutic to get out there watering plants, driving around, delivering plants for weddings, and driving a truck and just working again.
Today, Kinney has been working to get back to his love of drug discovery and development. He still does consulting, but spends most of his time on the business side of a nonprofit research institute. They're mining for drugs in a collection of tens of thousands of plant samples donated by Merck.
I think in the current pharmaceutical climate, everybody's looking to discover a drug very quickly. So they have a target of interest, and within 2 years, they want to have a drug that's going into demand. Natural products takes longer.
Kinney is based out of the Pennsylvania Biotech Center in Doylestown. It's a simple beige building, quite the opposite of the chic glass buildings sprawled across tree-lined college-esque campuses that are characteristic of many big pharma sites. But inside, one can find what Kinney describes as a snapshot of the evolution of pharma, its business model, and drug pipeline. It's here where research and ideas from scientists, venture capitalists, academics, many laid off from big pharma, all mix together. There's Ren Capicassel, who was laid off in 2008.
It truly was an opportunity coming out of what that day seemed like a disaster when I was laid off.
Capicassel admits to being sort of a poster guy for the growing field of contract research organizations. He started a company when he was on the way out of Johnson & Johnson. His company offers needed services along different parts of the drug development process.
What happens are cells get driven through a series of tubes.
Capicassel shows me an expensive machine the size of a mini fridge that runs sophisticated screenings on cell samples. He contracts with big drug companies that don't want to do those things in-house anymore, or for little ones that don't have the capacity on their own. Then there's Marie Loughran. She stands over a counter mixing compounds in a nearby lab.
This is where I do all my reactions and synthesis for small molecules.
Loughran is not at the PhD level, but she loves being at the bench, helping to develop potentially life-saving drugs. 6 months ago, she lost her job at Merck, as did most other mid-level chemists in her lab.
I was devastated, you know, like that was my life.
Through a work contact, she met with the head of a small business founded by, you guessed it, a laid-off pharma scientist. The business does a mix of academic collaborations and its own early research with hopes a big company may one day pick it up. She started there earlier this year.
I think I was one of the lucky few.
Then there's Kumar Shaluhai.
I can tell you, I've been in big pharma for the last 20, 25 years. There are many people like me who have ideas, but they don't find home. So the ideas die.
Shaluhai voluntarily left a secure job several years ago to develop his own therapy. His previous company wasn't interested. Sometimes places don't want to take the financial risk, or a drug just isn't in its strategic research plan. So he started from scratch, courting investors over a decade ago. Today, Shaluhai tells me he's feeling really good about a recent clinical trial. But in general, the chances of a drug in the clinical phase making it to market is about 1 in 10. Shaluhai tells me poor results would kill his company, but he's willing to take the risk.
For me, as a scientist, discovering a technology and taking it all the way up to market is not only financially, but personal reward as well. And down the road, I would be able to tell my children or grandchildren that I brought this drug to the market and it's helping so many people.
But are there times when you've been worried that, like, oh, maybe, you know, we're not getting the results, that the promising results, like, I mean, what were to happen if that went in that direction?
To put it simply, in the last 16 years, I haven't slept well. It goes on every day, every day. It's a day-to-day event.
It's in this small place that Kinney and others say they've been able to find support and begin to reestablish that scientific community they've longed for since getting laid off. It's certainly not big enough to absorb everyone out there, but they hope it can be an example.
That's it. Thank you for coming. Thank you to our speaker, John.
Excellent. Back in King of Prussia, the career coach presentation wraps up after about 2 hours. Afterwards, Lisa Kochia, the co-chair of the group who's worked in pharma sales for over 20 years, tells me today's session was really helpful in getting her to think about positions she hadn't considered before. She says being involved in this group, supporting others, helps her stay optimistic.
I'm a true believer that everything happens for a reason, and there's a plan that's higher than myself. So I'm a big believer that something will come, and the next great opportunity is there to be found.
She's keeping an open mind, and who knows, if one of those scientists at PA Biotech or elsewhere were to find a promising drug, there's plenty of talent, including herself, in this region, ready to put it to market. For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.